It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running on this, the 27th and penultimate day of February 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and HeadOn.live are where we live. You can go to either place and gain access to the chat room if you should so desire. Yes, either place. You can pick yourself out a free screen name and a free password because we're just generous that way. And jump into the chat room and be met by the likes of Anatole and Squeaky and Steve from Georgistan, BT Blom, more to follow later, I trust, and of course, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become both Man Cave and Sparky. That takes talent. Yes, yes, it does. And once you're in there, you'll see what I mean when I say that it is, in fact, a madcap, multimedia, wacky, zany, screwball, multimedia, real-time extravaganza. Come on by. Everybody's waiting on you. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Got that out of the way early. And I'm in just a darn fine mood this afternoon. We had a beautiful day here. Sunshine, blue skies, up in the 60s. Looks like March is going to enter vaguely resembling a lamb or maybe, you know, a little baby Cthulhu or something like that. And who knows what that means in terms of old saws about what the weather does. I think all of those are all those things are kind of out the window now with climate change, which of course is a cruel Chinese hoax designed to destroy our manufacturing base. That guy who would run into a who would take down a school shooter with no weapon whatsoever, done told us so. I'm of course enjoying these last few days of February because it means that we get to not have to worry and talk about fundraising or anything, but we do have subscribers. And so thanks go out to Susan. Thank you, Susan, in Massachusetts. Thank you very, very kindly. And thank you very kindly to our buddy Robert in Australia. Thank you very much indeed, Robert. You've been there for a very long time. Thanks to everybody who, via your subscriptions, take care of about a quarter of the funding necessary to keep this program on the air from month to month to month to month. Thank you very kindly indeed. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and we have some splendiferous exemplars of same. Oh, yes, we do. Before we jump into that, I would suggest that maybe we take a quick look back, because this is just so cool, into this day in Horn history. Yes, indeed. This day in horn history for February 27th, 2018, going back to February the 27th, 2015. Brought to you, of course, by the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, who encourage you to try, that's right, new, just released from the labs, Acaulis Acorn. The hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists went out and scrounged around, since there's no snow on the ground. They scrounged around for what the squirrels didn't find, and they brought them in. They slow roasted them, freeze dried them, ground them up in a proprietary blend of non-GMO, vegan, free-range, cage-free, cruelty-free acorn nutritional supplement. Yes, unlike any other available out there, you won't get the nutritional benefit from Acaulis Acorn by drinking some paleo chicken bone or gobbling up some sort of superior beetroot vegetables. No, only Acaulis Acorn from Horn Labs at Horn Nutraceuticals, or at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yeah, got it backwards there. Only that provides a full daily requirement of acorn goodness for you each and every day. And if you act now, because operators aren't standing by, and you dial the non-toll-free number that I'm not going to give you, well, you can order a 90-day supply of Acaulis Acorn. And by golly, we won't have it on the road to you anytime soon, even though you're going to cough up $129.12 plus $57.18 for shipping and handling. Mm-hmm. That's how it works around here. But by golly, when you don't, we're not going to send you, along with your 3-month supply, a little bundle of test strips that you can use to find out absolutely certainly what we already know here, that you were silly enough to buy a nutritional supplement from somebody on the radio. That's right, that's right. Here at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, we know that we're offering a bullshit nutritional supplement. Mm-hmm. And we just hope that the little weirdo right-wingers that lurk around the fringes of the program don't. Yes, yes. So, accept no substitutes, post no bills. I actually saw that. I saw that on a New York street earlier. I didn't even know anybody still said that, but I saw it on a New York street week before last. It was right there. There was a poster, oddly enough, that said post no bills. And, of course, somebody had immediately plastered over half of that with another poster. A bunch of New York anarchists or whatnot. But, yeah, post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, FOBCODACORN. Just for you, from the hardworking peripatetic scientists of Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. No salesman will call. Your mileage may vary. Acaulis Acorn from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, who brings you today's This Day in Horn History, in which we tiptoe into Bill and Ted's phone booth and delve into Kincaid's improbable history, dialing all the way back to February 27th, 2015, as previously noted. It's a historic edition of Friday on the Front Porch. Or Friday on the From My Front Porch, an incredible mix of world events and a Friday on the Front Porch roundtable that hasn't happened before or since February 27th, 2015. It's the day when the multi-talented film director, author, singer, and songwriter, and most notably Star Trek actor Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, shuffled off this blue-green time machine at the tender age of 83. Light speed, Mr. Spock, light speed, says Bob. He then asks a fundamental question which doesn't get asked or thought of nearly enough on the left side of the American political spectrum. In light of Phil Duck Doofus Robertson's headlining of the 2015 Conservative Political Action Conference, Bob asks, where in the hell is our CPAC? It's not that there are more of them than there are of us. And no, Netroots Nation ain't it. The question remains. Of note at the 2015 CPAC is that Duck Doofus Phil Robertson has won the prestigious 2015 Andrew Breitbart Defender of the First Amendment Award. Hard to repeat those words without laughing. In a move that has Bob reaching for the tequila before sundown, Robertson whips out a duct-tape-covered Bible as he addresses potential candidates at CPAC. The duck commander is there to tell the credulous to keep their Bibles close and their woman's closer because you can't get no sex from a sexually transmitted disease. You heard that right. That's a direct quote. Next up is a scolding rebuttal to Senator James Inhofe's recent snowball speech delivered by Rhode Island's Sheldon Whitehouse. In response to Inhofe's, "Why do I have this snowball in my hand if there's a global warming?" Senator Whitehouse has this to say. You can believe NASA and you can believe what their satellites measure on the planet, or you can believe the senator with the snowball. The United States Navy takes this very seriously to the point where the head of the Pacific Command has said that climate change is the biggest threat that we face in the Pacific. You can either believe the United States Navy or you can believe the senator with the snowball. Every major American scientific society has put itself on record that climate change is deadly real. So you can believe every single major American scientific society or you can believe the senator with the snowball. And finally, the most notable part of this particular edition of the Friday on the Front Porch is indeed the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. This happens to be the largest crowd ever gathered around the Friday on the Front Porch bonfire, with Sister Carol Baker, Sparky, Tracy the Lady Cab Driver, Barbie from Iowa, Brother Deacon Gerald, Kevin from Colorado Springs, Larry from the Bay Area, Carol from Australia, Haley from Arkansas, and the proverbial cherry that tops the Friday on the Front Porch cake, legendary Cleveland blues man and longtime friend of the horn, gone but not forgotten, the revered Bill Mr. Stress Miller. This would be Bill Miller's last participation in a Friday on the Front Porch roundtable. He would depart us a couple of short months later. Lightspeed, Mr. Stress. Lightspeed. And that was a brief look back into Horn Antiquity, 1,096 days into Kincaid's improbable history, all the way back to February 27th, 2015, for This Day in Horn History. Yes. And so many of the questions do remain out there and remain as yet unanswered. Meanwhile, Scott and Punky with a note. Horn Nutraceuticals, Horn Labs' new product. I'm hoping the mad scientist will soon develop a supplement that combines select segments of the genetic goo of the money plant and the sand dollar. Such a daily dose might be of help to many in these dire economic times. Problem is, we ain't nowhere near the ocean. As we learned this being Titanic Tuesday, you know, you may recall years and years and years ago, our buddy Jim was listening to right-wing radio in which the morning monotone took a break from reading the newspaper to his knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing faithful to take a call from one of said mouth-walkers, knuckle-breathers, who asked, "Steve, how come it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowheres near the ocean, and we're still not, Scott, you understand." To which Steve, the morning monotone, replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Mm-hmm. Yes. Still no word. Still no word on the whereabouts of the Titanic kartoffel fancuchen pan. Nope. None whatsoever. And so on these Thursdays we celebrate. If celebrate is the right word for it. On these Thursdays, we celebrate Titanic right-wing intellect. If indeed intellect itself is the appropriate word. Mm-hmm. So, we've got a lot of it. And where to start? Well, I mean, some things, God help me, some things just don't get old.
You're being fed what Hitler fed to his people in before World War I.
Yeah. Consequently, the kartoffel fancuchen pan. I don't think even Acaulis Acorn can help old delegate Roy Cooper, who I mistakenly referred to last night as Roy Moore. But you can understand that. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. No, we've got better Titanic intellect than that. Some funny, some not so much. Yeah. How about this? This is tangentially Trumpy. We take you now to Boston, Massachusetts, where a young man was merely walking home from the barber shop, and he saw a couple of plain clothes, sorta, or at least unmarked car. Boston PD eyeballing him. So, being a smart young man, he began rolling a recording. And the Boston PD did not disappoint. Assuming that the damn thing's going to load. Which it may not. I may have to restart. I don't mean the computer. The fab machine is as fab as it has ever been, but sometimes Firefox is a little squirrely. Yes. So we'll just restart that and let it reload. And then we'll get to where we meant to be in the first place. So, yes, it's just a gray winter's day in Boston. The young man gets out of his Uber to go to the barbershop and starts getting scoped by the Boston PD, who then apparently don't appreciate being videoed in the course and scope of not doing their jobs very well. Here we go.
Huh? Kevin?
Yeah.
No.
Sure?
Of course.
What is your name?
Why you want to know my name?
You look like someone I was looking to speak to.
This is a beautifully transparent attempt at a trap. You Kevin? We're looking for Kevin. No? You sure you're not Kevin? Pretty sure I'm not Kevin. Nobody's ever called me Kevin. Right. Boy, I tell you what, this guy's on the way to detective, isn't he? You sure you're not Kevin? We want to talk to Kevin. Maybe we want to talk to you.
It's not Kevin?
Wrong person.
What's your name?
You don't even know my name.
You can tell me, it's fine. What's your name?
Of course, because I knew you guys were going to circle around.
Yeah.
What's your name?
What's your name? It's Crossing. What's yours? Hold up,
here we go. Stage two.
Yeah, 1606. 1606. You can film it, though. What's your name?
Why do you need to know my name? Why are you stopping me, actually?
Because we're looking to speak to you.
I don't want to be spoken to.
What's up? What's happening?
What's up?
Okay.
Again. Here we go.
Here we go.
Stage two.
What's stage one?
What's your name?
It's Crossing. I already told you.
And yours?
Kelly. What's up, bud?
Okay. Here we go.
Where do you live?
You don't need to know that.
You just start here. Killing time
going
today?
To the barbershop.
You look like you just got it done.
Because I'm clean.
What a smart ass.
Why are you bothering me? I knew you was going to bother me since I got out my Uber.
Yeah.
I had my camera ready.
I know you did.
Exactly. So what you stopping me for? You still ain't telling me what you stopping me for. You still ain't telling me what you stopping me for.
Your parents proud of you for flipping off the police?
Thank you.
Now, to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't flipped off anybody. But meanwhile, Officer Friendly here has taken out his camera, and now we've got a case of dueling video going on. I know, we're talking about video on the radio, which is it's a little bit challenged, but you know, we've got the audio here, and you get the general idea. You got a guy trying to walk away from getting a haircut, and you got a smart-ass cop who, for reasons known only to him, thinks that he's Kevin, after he's already been told he's not Kevin.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Have a great day, contributor. What do you do for work? What do you do for work? Anything?
I do a lot for work.
Like what? Like what?
I do a lot for work.
Go away.
I do a lot for
Go away.
Work.
Go away.
Stupid.
Go away, tough guy.
Pig.
Go away.
That's what he is.
Go away.
That's what he is.
Go away.
Stupid. Wasting time.
Make sure you post
I appreciate
this.
You.
Make sure you post this. Show what, you, what are you doing? It's noontime on a Thursday. What are you doing today?
And what are you doing?
I'm working. What are you doing?
You're doing the wrong fucking thing, nigga. You ain't even, you stopping the wrong fucking person.
Watch your foot.
Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. Stupid. Looks.
Wait a minute. He only gets a watch out, buddy, after he uses the... You know, this isn't one thing that happened in one place in America. It's a big country. Not the biggest. 320-some-odd million human beings. And it's not just the Boston Police Department. It's who knows who else. You know, if this happened to an NRA member, there would be a full on sweat condition alpha hair on fire alert sent out about the police out there harassing our membership. Instead, just black dude with a nice new haircut, and some cop in a Boston Bruins, what do you call them? Some places call them toboggans, but other people know that's a goddamn sled. Beanie, knit cap, whatever. Yeah, you Kevin? Jesus. Your tax dollars at work, Boston. Why has this guy got a job? What do you do for work? I do a lot. What do you do? Apparently, I don't roust random citizens merely walking down the sidewalk. That's one thing he doesn't do. Jesus. Contributor. Contributor, the cop refers to him as. Have a great day, contributor. What are you doing for work? Anything? I wonder how many times he asks a white guy that. Jesus, this country. Ugh. On and on and on. So, you know, like I said, we've got no small amount of titanic intellect at play in this evening's program. Let's bring it back home here to the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia Stan. Couple of stories. You know, the teacher strike, which is now on its fourth day, is garnering national attention because, well, we're the 48th worst paid. Our teachers are 48th in pay in the entire United States of Merca. You know, you can teach for 15 years and have a master's degree and a couple of certifications and some oak leaf clusters and stuff like that on your diploma. And you might, after those 15 years, you might be hauling down every bit of, hold on, wait for it, $40,000. Mm-hmm. Now, teacher pay in West Virginia lags anywhere from $5,000, say, like, probably in Kentucky, behind Kentucky, to $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 in, say, maybe Maryland. Every state around West Virginia pays their teachers better than West Virginia pays teachers. Here's a good way. Look at the well-spoken, brilliant young scholars from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School out there trying to change the very nation itself. Look at how well-spoken they are. You can tell how literate they are by virtue of the things that they the things that they write. Sparky turned me on to a piece by young Ms. Gonzalez published over at Harper's, and it was brilliantly written. You couldn't ask for better. Infinite wing nuts with infinite typewriters, couldn't type something that grammatically correct. They're, of course, being slimed and you know, generally attacked, of course, for daring to have an opinion. Eric Erickson refers to them as Generation Tide Pod Eaters. I think he's confused these young people with, say, maggots. But when you take a moment to note how brilliant these young people are, you know you are in the presence of young people who have had near countless hours of dedicated instruction by professional educators who maybe don't have to sweat whether or not they're going to fix the car or buy groceries in any given month. Well, teachers were promised a 2% raise this year and then and another percent next year and another percent after that. And their health insurance rates were frozen to keep them from leaping through the roof. But that's not a fix. It's not a solution. And so the teachers are saying, no, just give us the 5% now. And by the way, 5% of... A 5% raise to a teacher making $30,000 a year is, and we know how it goes with me and Cypher and everything, not for want of effort on the part of professional educators when I was in school. I just didn't. I don't take real good to math, but even with my limited Cypher ability, I'm pretty sure that a whole whopping 5% raise to a teacher making $30,000 a year in West Virginia would be what? $1,500, which is maybe a little bit, before taxes, a little bit more than $100 a month. After taxes, hell, it's probably not $75 a month. But we're in terrible shape here in West Virginia, and we can't afford to pay none of them school marms, says Jim Kunta Kinte Justice, who absolutely refuses to raise taxes on the frackers. And that, you know, that's the funny thing about extractive industries. You can't move to, say, you can't move to Montana and frack gas from West Virginia. If you want to frack West Virginia gas, you got to be in West Virginia, which means that by definition, state government kind of has a leg up on the frackers. You know, you can either not frack in West Virginia or you can pay your way to do it. Unless, of course, say you're a booger-eating Trumpanzee legislature that has been bought and paid for by the aforementioned extractive industries. Oh, that's a point very well taken, Arthur. Arthur says, not only that, Bob, most kids, teens, have a lot of innate intelligence. Yes, that's true. It does, however, have to be developed. I mean, nobody's born speaking any particularly good, and, you know, nobody's born talking real goodly like. But the other part of it is writing is one of those things that does have to be taught, and doing it grammatically and within the structures that make one's writing comprehensible to other people attempting to read it. Those are taught skills, Arthur, and there's just no getting around it. I'm sorry. But no, we could impose a severance tax on the frackers. And if they didn't like it, we could tell them to pack up and go the fuck home. Or go somewhere else. That, of course, would require having leaders, politicians, representatives in government who actually put West Virginia and West Virginians ahead of frackers and poisoners. I know. Right. So why am I even talking about it? Right. Thank you, Ron in Raleigh. Let's have a quick look here. If you are, like I've said, if you're a teacher in West Virginia and you're just starting out, you might make $30,000. Don't spend it all in one place, before taxes, of course. On the other hand, in Parkland, Florida, the average base pay of a teacher is $41,292 per year. It can range higher, it can range lower. That is an average. But suffice to say, Florida is not 48th in teacher pay. West Virginia is. Mm-hmm. And so it was yesterday that they, and they've been rallying every day at the Capitol. And the ones who aren't at the Capitol are standing by the road outside their schools on the picket line. And I always give them a honk and a thumbs up. My grandmother, born 1894, started teaching in West Virginia in 1912 in one-room schools, shacks, log cabins that she would have to show up 2 hours early in order, where she'd have to show up 2 hours early in order to get the fire going in winter, so her young scholars wouldn't freeze to death while trying to learn their letters and their ciphering. She taught 60-plus years in the school system of this very county where from whence I now broadcast. God only knows how many thousands of young people she was responsible for teaching to read. When I was born, she started sending books home. She'd send them down to Alabama. And so almost before I could run, I could read. Again, literacy must be taught. So a deep and abiding respect for education and educators comes natural to me. And consequently, it was a little bit distressing yesterday, when I saw United Mine Workers President Cecil Roberts show up and try to glom on to the teacher strike. Mm-hmm. Talking about how it blah, 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 you know, say, but his United Mine Workers, of course, are and have been actively involved in poisoning those teachers and poisoning their little scholar charges, who do things like breathing blasting dust from mountaintop removal operations even as they're trying to learn. And we have scientific data that suggests that the blasting dust from mountaintop removal operations, which largely consist of silica dust, which there's about 100 years of science proving that silica dust is horrible for the human body, that it has a profound and negative impact, among other things, on the developing brain. And it was activists from Cold River Mountain Watch who raised so much hell about one particular school in Raleigh County, the western end of Raleigh County, called Marsh Fork Elementary School. Joe Manchin ignored us. The state school board ignored us. Raleigh County School Board ignored us, but they didn't give up. And they kept raising hell. A man named Ed Wiley walked from the Coal River Valley to Washington, D.C. to talk to Robert C. Byrd about the problem. He walked. Donations were gathered as far away, well, in faraway states. A penny at a time. Pennies. To pay to build a new school at Marsh Fork Elementary. Until finally a foundation stepped forward and said, we're going to put up the money. Enough is enough. Because these children were going to school at the base of a massive toxic waste dam. They were going to school right next door to a coal preparation plant and a giant coal silo, and there was dust all over the school, and there was no way that and teachers got sick and children got sick. And all the while, we would ask Cecil Roberts and the United Mine Workers, what's your position on mountaintop removal?
We got brothers up on them mountaintop removal sites. We got to support mountaintop removal,
even if you're poisoning people.
Got to have them jobs!
And so I was a little bit disgusted when I saw that clown Cecil Roberts hopping around on the stage in Charleston trying to glom onto the dedication and the determination and the perseverance of West Virginia's teachers. It seemed kind of, well, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, shameful. But shame's not a big one in Cecil Roberts' repertory. Me? I fully support the teachers of this state. If they need to stay out another week, another 2 weeks, another month, or the whole damn school year until the booger-eaten Trumpansy legislature and Governor Jim Kunta Kinte Justice figure out that the only future this state has will be determined by the degree to which we make a legitimate effort to educate our children. Plain and simple. Now, that's not to say the West Virginia legislature isn't hard at work. The Education Committee, for instance, has advanced a bill that will force West Virginia colleges and universities to let students carry their freedom protectors to class. Yeah, we're there. Texas did this a little while ago, so now even with the blood of Parkland, Florida still screaming out from the ground, the bought and paid for members of the West Virginia legislature, well, by God, they're gonna push to make sure that if a professor gives somebody a D, well, you know how it goes. Wolverines! Give me a D, will you? Deserving starts with D, and deserving's got nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Practically every institution of higher learning in this state opposes the bill. This does not matter to the booger eaters of the majority in the West Virginia legislature. So we got that. And I mentioned what a young teacher starting out in West Virginia can expect to make. The other thing, there's a report that's been issued to the legislature saying that circuit judges and Supreme Court judges in this state need a raise, by God. Circuit judges need a raise from the $126,000 that they make every year. Magistrates, who are not even required to have a high school diploma. Magistrates in this state, who are not even required to be literate. Magistrates in this state, according to this report, deserve a raise north of $50,000 per year. No, really. If you didn't know better, you'd almost swear that we have a little we have a little priority problem here in Almost Level West by Cole Trump, Virginia, Stan. You'd almost swear that because, well, it's true. Hmm? Wow. Like I said, it's going to be a busy Titanic Tuesday here. Down in Florida, in Pinellas County, Gerald Patrick McGuire is cooling his heels with a $10,000 bond for a tweet that he sent to former Congressman David Jolly, a former Republican member of Congress from Florida. The tweet said, and I quote, "Shoot David Jolly, shoot him by, B-A-A American, shoot him." You've probably seen David Jolly on TV. You know, if this was a normal America, we would probably be at odds with somebody like David Jolly because, well, he's a Republican and he believes what Republicans believe. Mm-hmm. But he opposes Donald Trump, so he gets a good bit of airtime. So this McGuire character, who goes by Jerry McGuire, he tweeted an InfoWars video. And, what do you want? Florida. I guess, given the first story in the list this evening, we could have a segment called "White People Behaving Whitely." Enter Eileen Marcinkowski of Fort Myers, Florida, or the surrounding area. She works at an outfit called Cactus Jacks. Eileen Marcinkowski was caught on video screaming that word at a former co-worker there at Cactus Jacks by the name of Orlando Ortega. He had been fired from the restaurant before the incident occurred. The owner of Cactus Jacks has explained that, yes, even though her employee, Eileen Marcinkowski, was caught on video screaming that word, that she gets to keep her job. Because Orlando Ortega apparently punched her in the face or something. Explaining to Fox News Channel 4, restaurant owner Jane Thursfield says, "The lady in the video he actually did hit. She had blood on her face. She was bleeding. Even though in the video there is no blood to be seen anywhere." So a hard-hitting reporter then asked her, "So that means it was okay for her to use those words?" "Well, of course not. No, we don't condone that at all. We're just going to let her keep her job." I mean, after all, it was off the clock and it was off business property. You might be interested to know that Mr. Ortega It says that he did absolutely nothing whatsoever to provoke Eileen Marcinkowski. But somehow or another, Eileen Marcinkowski gets believed. Oh, hell, let's just do journalism and run the audio. It helps if you unmute it. There we go.
Hey, stop. Yeah, you relax. Relax.
Get the fuck out of my bar. You just come back, motherfucker.
You're making it. You were just praising me earlier.
Fuck out of my
bar. I don't understand what I did. You were just praising me.
Get the fuck out of my bar.
You called me a nigger for what? I just worked an entire shit.
You are a fucking nigger.
There you go. There you go.
That's it. There you go.
And it all comes out. That's exactly what I was saying.
Fucking niggers act like
that. That's why. There you go. That's why you are on camera. That's why you are on camera.
Come on. Come over here. Come down here with me. You know, white niggers and black niggers. No one fucking niggers.
I'm not black.
He's not even black.
Fuck out of my bar.
You were just praising me today. I don't understand this. I work a shift. Now I'm a nigger. I'm all it is.
You are banned. You are never allowed on this premise.
I don't want this. This is a nasty ass bar. I promise you. I got everything. I got on camera. She's still calling us nigger.
In your face. You say no.
She's calling us
nigger.
Hello. You are a nigger. Only niggers act like that. I'm sorry. I was trying. I did my best with this place. I did nothing wrong. I don't understand where this comes from. Your husband's calling you a retarded nigger. They're asking to void a snapper.
And we wonder, why that we are who we are. Now, in the video, what you can see is a white man standing behind the white woman as she's screaming that word, trying to put his hand over her mouth so that she won't be caught on video, you know, saying that word so many times. But, you know, the story has a happy ending because she still has a job. Jobs, gotta have jobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you thought that was bad, why, let's go to Illinois, shall we? We've talked about white-winged Trumpansy maggot radio host Bob Romanek in the past. He's terribly, terribly fond of that particular word. And he's also running for state senate in Illinois. And I guess we could say that this is a good news story, because somehow or another the Illinois GOP or at least the county GOP, the St. Clair, Illinois County Republicans, figured out that it's probably not a good idea to endorse him. Not mentioning him by name, the St. Clair County Republicans reached out to voters in St. Clair County and said, only support Republican candidates who do not use such racist, sexist, abusive language. Mm-hmm. And then endorsed his primary opponent. Well, I'll take it one step further. I'm guessing that being as how they're Republicans and everything, the difference between Bob Romanek and his opponent in the primary there is that Bob Romanek says out loud what his opponent only thinks quietly in the privacy of his or her own noggin. Mm-hmm. He's real fond of that word. Interviewed by the Madison St. Clair Record, Romanek, who's, again, hosts an AM radio program of just almost pure, unmitigated vitriol, said that being condemned by the GOP was like having a, that word, being asked to join the KKK. You think that the, that word even wants to be part of the cracker organization? Well, I support proud blacks, but not, and it's just like the thing from Florida, you know, there's white and in that word, and but not, and of course, Bob Romanek reserves the right to define who qualifies as which. America, America, America. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was what? Remember this? Remember Wacka Flocka Flame? Because we had the audio on this. Romanek called him a greasy black son of a meep because Wacka Flocka Flame did something that made fun of Nectarine Nero. Yep. More information coming out about Nicholas Cruz, the murderer from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. According to CNN, the authorities have inventoried his murder paraphernalia. He had another 180 rounds that he could have used when the murder spree finally stopped. Mm-hmm. And what's more, there is a credible report that, among other things, and this is according to a law enforcement official down there, the magazines that Nicholas Cruz used, well, he had etched swastikas into them. It has not been lost on me that some of the children slaughtered in that school were Jewish. I keep saying that we have a bigger problem in this country than we want to admit we have relative to Nazis. I have a feeling, well, I'm just comfortable saying that I'm right. We got a lot of Nazis in this country. And for the ones who aren't full-on Nazis, we got a lot of Republicans who are, you know, sympathetic. Paul Ryan had himself a little mini press briefing today, and he brought along Steve Scalise from Louisiana, the noted Klan sympathizer, who, even though he was shot near unto death, still hasn't learned anything about gun violence in the United States of America and remains a fire-breathing supporter of the National Rifle Association. Oh, and speaking of which, the NRA is, at least according to McClatchy reporting, the FBI is investigating whether a man named Alexander Torshin He's a Russian national and happens to be an NRA member. That's right, the NRA. Anybody with a pulse can join. He's also the primary liaison of the National Rifle Association in Russia. Why the National Rifle Association needs a liaison in Russia, that question hasn't really been fully examined. God knows, explained. But the FBI is investigating at the behest of Robert Mueller whether Alexander Torshin used the NRA to pump money into the Trump presidential campaign, among other things. He has a history of, according to investigators in Spain, he has a history of washing his money in Europe. So Ron Wyden of Oregon, who is, I am sure, insufficiently ideologically pure, nonetheless, he wrote a letter to the NRA asking for information. He wrote two letters. He wanted information on any financial links between the NRA and the Russian government, or the NRA and Russian nationals, like, say, Alexander Torshin. The NRA fired back. They copied old Chuck Grassley on it. Dear Senator Wyden, I am responding to your February 2, 2018 letter to Wilson H. Phillips, Jr., Treasurer of the National Rifle Association of America, requesting documentation related to financial transactions between the NRA and individuals or entities associated with the Russian Federation. Pay attention to what he says and what he doesn't say. Your inquiry appears to be based on a recent news article suggesting that one Russian official, Alexander Torshin, is under investigation by the FBI with respect to his alleged efforts to channel election-related funding to the NRA. As the article itself makes clear, and as the author of the article has made clear to counsel for the NRA... Really? The NRA has shaken down the article of the author? The author of the article? The article refers to an investigation of Mr. Torshin, not of the NRA. There has been no contact between the FBI and the NRA. Well, that's two paragraphs gone, and still the question doesn't get answered. As a long-standing policy to comply with federal election law, the NRA and its related entities do not accept funds from foreign persons or entities in connection with the United States elections. That's three paragraphs, still no answer. The vast majority of NRA donations come from millions of small individual donors. Depends on how you define majority, how you define vast, and how you define small. Contributions are carefully monitored in order to comply with Internal Revenue Service and Federal Election Commission regulations. Significant contributions from unknown entities are vetted to ensure the legitimacy of donors. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, no answer. Finally, NRA political decisions are made by NRA officers and executive staff, all of whom are United States citizens. No foreign nationals are consulted in any way on these decisions. I hope this response is helpful. Signed, John C. Fraser, Secretary and General Counsel of the NRA. Well, I guess you could say it's helpful. I mean, it's helpful the way that it being asked if it's raining outside and being told it's not raining in here is helpful. Nothing in there about the weird little trip that the exalted panjandrums of the NRA took to Moscow back in 2015. Nothing in the letter about that. And moreover, $30 million, which is some serious scratch, $30 million went into the Trump campaign from the NRA. And that money was funneled, incidentally, from a branch of the NRA that just conveniently doesn't have to disclose its donors. What a little masterpiece of obfuscation and non-answer answering. Because, among other things, Wyden's questions had to do with any Russian money, not just money passed through to the election. And John C. Fraser also didn't make any mention of the fact that, among other things, the Russia has tried to use the NRA to influence policy inside the White House. Senator Wyden is not necessarily giving up, because he's also got a letter out to the Treasury Department, you know, the Treasury Department being run by Steve Mnuchin. The swamp drain's got a Mnuchin stuck in it. And from Treasury, Senator Wyden hopes to find out about shell companies or other illicit funding mechanisms suspected of being connected to these reported links. That's a quote from the correspondence. The Treasury Department is as silent thus far as a graven image. But for anybody who wonders why maybe I refer to the NRA as the National Ruble or Rifle Association, well, there's your answer. Watch this space. Or listen to this space, I guess. Yeah. So, like I said, we've got a lot that we're dealing with today. That's just a scratching of the surface. And please remember,
you are being fed what Hitler fed to his people in before World War I.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to give old Delegate Roy Cooper a little bit of play on Titanic Tuesday, because, well, he's a homegrown Titanic intellect, and there's just some carryover between Morian Monday and Titanic Tuesday sometimes. Old Roy. Just like the dog food for sale at your local Wally World. Yeah. 3 minutes past the hour. And like I said, there's just oodles of more stuff to get into this evening. Let's see. I guess I dodged a bullet coming from, probably not the best phrase, but I got lucky coming home from New York City. Kind of would save this for prayer meeting Wednesday, but apparently a Jehovah's Witness from Australia visited New York and had the measles and may conceivably have exposed God knows how many people to the measles. Because in addition to going to Watchtower headquarters, he also visited the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I did not. Ran out of time, or else I would have been there. And you can only hope that having had the measles and the vaccine and that didn't work, and then the vaccine that did work, and getting the measles anyway, you hope it would, but who knows, right? So, there's lots of stuff yet. But like I said, I hate to keep people on hold, and this is a real call. It's our good buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Oh, my God. Hey, look.
Yeah, what's up?
I don't know, man. It's a whole lot going on. Like, I had a few questions. Oh, my God. If you hear any reverb, tell me if you hear reverb, because I have not cut off my radio.
Okay, you need to do that anyway, just as good practice.
All right. I do. I know. I was thinking you were going to a break, but hold on.
Well, I decided to bail on the break and go straight to the conversation.
Right. That's because you're a kind of guy. All right. Let me see if everything else is off. Nope, got one more on. It's going to be high. All right. So, I have some questions.
I ain't the shell question, answer, man. I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, you just put a whole lot of stuff on the plate. You know what I mean? I mean, just over the past few days, I've been listening off and on, and there's just a lot of stuff going on. But, so like, okay. First of all, that quote, he played that quote, the quote I'm talking about, the Hitler-ish quote.
Delegate old Roy?
I didn't know if I was sleepy. In other words, it took me a lot of energy to process what the guy was saying because it just didn't make any sense. I'm like, what is he talking about? You know, then I put it together. I'm like, okay, he's just fucking ignorant. Is it the water? The water?
Could be the water.
I mean, explain this to me. Well, maybe don't. That's what you're dealing with. Okay, because that shit. In other words, what I'm saying is that it takes a lot of energy to process. You know, when you try to read someone's writing, that's all fucked up. It's like makes you slow down. It's like, wait a minute, I got a little headache here.
It's straight out of Warner Brothers cartoons where, you know, you shake your head and it's, and you can hear the marbles rattling. Yeah, that.
You got it. That one. Right. My dog does that. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay. So I'm so sorry you had to deal with that kind of nonsense. And he has a platform. Oh, boy. All right. The other question is that, and I'm just going to run through these questions. You know what's funny now? Remember when Jared Kushner was asking for a private line, like a back channel?
Before
the inauguration. So I hope Mueller's looking into that. And you know, when I talked to you when you were on filling in for Mike, I hope it didn't get you in trouble, but I hope you understood what I was doing. I was trying to make it look like, you know, this administration is like a banana republic. You know, what the despots that we used to make fun of. I mean, that's what we got.
Right, I get
it. So I don't know if you got that. Okay. And the other thing is that these evangelicals that we're dealing with, you know, with Tony Perkins saying, I don't know, give Trump a mulligan, I mean, what does that say about them and their followers? I mean, what does that really say?
That he can do pretty much anything he wants to. that this administration can do that will make that cancerous knot of Trumpansies, maggots, finally, you know, just say, okay, no, this is all over. I mean, to me, that's what that means.
I saw Sarah today, but that's not what I'm going to get into right this second. But it just appears it's just so much pressure on this administration. If you're thinking, I mean, if you're really a thinking individual, you know, there's a lot of pressure. But the people that continue to follow him, because we understand now that Trump is not even running this country. It's Kelly. It's a junta. You know, we got generals and neophytes and a bunch of people, a 30-year-old xenophobe.
Yeah, but the other thing we have, Todd, is a bunch of everyday, ordinary, workaday American citizens who are half out of their mind with frustration and anger at things that are real and things that they perceive and things that they fantasize, and they're weaponized on a daily basis by the Limbaughs and the Joneses and the Hannitys of the world. I mean, I got a story here that goes back half of this month.
Mm-hmm.
Shasta County, California, 84-year-old woman. On a Friday evening, Betty Frances Sanders, 84 years old, and her husband walked up to the fence that runs between their property and their neighbors in Anderson, California, and started screaming at the 8 and 10-year-old kids playing in the yard. Okay, they were riding motorcycles. They were being noisy. And so when the argument escalated, 84-year-old Betty Frances Sanders of Anderson, Shasta County, California, pulled out her Freedom Protector and squeezed off around at the youngins.
I don't think that's appropriate.
No. One neighbor said they could hear the bullets going off over her children's heads.
Shit.
Bullets. She bailed out. She posted $50,000 worth of bail and has a preliminary court date in March. Nothing in the story about whether or not she still has her Freedom Protector and might decide to squeeze off a few more accurate rounds at the neighbors next time.
What state is this?
California.
I would... Well, you have a lot of California listeners, but I would think that the deputy, the first thing would do is confiscate the firearms. You know, I mean, I would hope. But yeah, like you said, there's nothing in the story. We don't know, but wow. I can't imagine living where you live, because I'd be kind
Bobby,
of...
Were you
up,
listening?
You know,
were you listening last night when my neighbors decided to take target practice?
Yeah, I was. I was, matter of fact. Yep.
Well, see, we have a law in this state, and it turned out, I checked in with the boss, Agnes the Viking Warrior Pharaoh Princess. I thought it was down over the hill. Well, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was right next door, my neighbors that fly the Confederate flag.
Are they the coal burners?
Yeah, same.
Ain't that some shit?
And we've got a law in this state that says you can't discharge a firearm within 500 feet of a dwelling.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what would have happened if Agnes had called the law?
Oh, man.
You get my point.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they decide to squeeze off a few rounds of semi-automatic weapons fire, you just got to kind of hope that nothing ricochets and hope that they're not aiming at you. Because freedom.
I mean, I know this question is stupid, But I know this really doesn't matter, but I'm just curious. I'm trying to see, like, on the stupid meter, how stupid are these people? Do they have a berm? You know, are they just out there just shooting?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fucked up.
Now, when my other neighbor decides to squeeze off a few rounds in out of his AR-15, he shoots into a hillside.
Well, right. So that's a step above. That's kind of what if you're out. I mean, but still, like you said, there's a reason that you're not supposed to. Right. You're supposed to. But that doesn't mean shit, really. I mean, it's better. It's better. But, and see, okay, and I'm, don't let me get off too much on the tangent because I wanted to talk about
that. That's okay.
But yeah. And you know what? And I remember when I went for my CCP training, they just took us out. You know, we're behind the Masonic Lodge and there's a berm out there. And it wasn't that fucking safe. They had people lined up. There's no partition. And I was a little, you know, I didn't feel comfortable, honestly. I really didn't. I mean, you got, you know, come on. People out there just shooting, and there's no partition. You're just out in the woods shooting at a berm. And they just have a wooden table set up, you know. And there's one guy there that's, you know, one constable, and then another guy. You could tell he was a cop. That's okay, whatever. But, you know, and this dovetails in exactly what you're talking about. These people are a little bit careless with firearms, man. They're fucking dangerous. Just like if you have a semi-automatic weapon, like, and I'm going to tell you what happened in my class, and I'll never forget it. The constable, the dude teaching the class is like, well, you know you're not supposed to keep your weapon loaded, but it ain't going to do you any good if it doesn't have a bullet in it. And I'm thinking, no, that's not a good idea at all. If you got a semi-automatic, you need to keep the breech open, clip out, so you can see through that motherfucker. You know what I mean? I'm sorry if it's going to take you a few minutes to get to it. So what? It's dangerous.
Well, you know, but I mean, okay, that, but still the fact of the matter remains, if somebody's coming into your house with a gun with evil intent, you're already ambushed.
You're already ambushed. You're already, right, exactly. And that's, right, exactly. It doesn't even matter at that point. That is why the best, you know, lights, a thick door, so you can hear somebody coming in, and they'll give you some time. But, you see, that's why this whole thing, and I've been waiting. I know you have educators. I know you have people who are teachers, who have been teachers. I mean, I taught for a little while, and I was doing administration, but, I mean, people who have taught for longer than I did. And I was waiting for somebody to say something, so I guess I had to speak first. This idea is beyond fucking stupid. And I can give you a billion reasons why. A billion. Literally. Now, let's just start with firearms, number one. Now, if anyone goes to look at the stats, even professionals who are trained in pistol, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about giving teachers like a fold-up submachine gun, something they can hide under their raincoat, you know, which they'll be wearing in class. They'll be wearing a long trench coat.
Yeah, but you're a brand new teacher, and you're getting $30,000 a year, and you're supposed to... Holy shit, you know?
I could not fucking teach. I couldn't concentrate with that shit on my body. No, I could not do it. But my point is that unless someone is like maybe 10, 15 feet in front of you, you're going to miss more than you hit. And what do you think you're going to hit? Most schools are cinder blocks. Somewhere in there. There's going to be some ricochets. And you know what? This shit will end when there's a bunch of dead kids. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Because these people love guns more than they love anything. But this idea of having armed teachers, I don't care. And then finally I heard someone say the other night, right, so what happens? Because you remember, in a stand your ground state, all you have to say, if you're a licensed weapon carrier, you can say, I felt threatened for my life. And that's all you have to say in court, just like the police. Say, well, I felt threatened for my life, you know. And so that unruly child that you know, the teacher might get emboldened. You know, come on, we're talking about human beings. Somebody might be going through a nasty divorce, might be like going into alcoholism, drug abuse, who knows? Nobody's going to catch at it first until it's too late. They'll be like, oh, well, look, we didn't know he was blah, 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 or she was blah, blah, blah. Well, now you know. But guess what? Now he got five dead kids. It is the most ridiculous the idea that our federal government, people who represent us, are even entertaining this shit. Now, I'm going to tell you, because I spent a lot of my career, I started substituting, and then I worked for the university, but a primary part of my job was to go to school, Title I schools all over the country. Most schools, good schools, you've got to go to the security desk. There's a magnetometer. You got to go to the metal. But not always. Like, I remember going to Columbine, and they still didn't have one up. I went to Columbine Middle School. Okay? It's outside of Denver. They didn't have security. Not like Newark or Elizabeth or Trenton or Philly or D.C. or even West Virginia. Let me see. West Virginia, no. They didn't have any security in West Virginia. No. But most of the schools, and it's funny because when you see the heightened security, it's always in inner city schools where mass shootings, where the let's be fucking clear. This is terrorism. Because if you're in the fucking school, those children are terrorized. They don't want to go back to school. I wouldn't want to go back to that fucking school. Are you fucking kidding me? The fuck out of here. Like that kid said, I want to take the fuck out of here. That's right. Fuck that cop. Yeah. Who wants to go back to that school? Are you kidding me? That needs to be like a health center. Turn into something positive. They to ask those children to go back, they're asking for trouble. There is so much wrong going on right now. This administration is absolutely dragging us down the hole. For those 30-some percent who are stuck on stupid. And I'm just waiting for this shit to fucking settle down. It's not settling down. I think this is going to be, you know, your Cold Civil War, this is the new slavery. This arms issue, this weapons issue, this is like the new slavery issue. I don't see any movement.
That's why I'm not trying to be defeatist on this, but I don't believe, Todd, that you can solve a problem without knowing first what the problem you're trying to solve is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, sure.
So let me throw a couple of fun. You know, again, like I said last night, there's something north of 8.5-9 million of these semi-automatic assault rifles in circulation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
God alone knows how many high capacity magazines. All right. Mm-hmm. So if you make them illegal tomorrow, then there's a huge market for them. I mean, they gain value in their liquidity the
right
minute a ban goes into place, and they gain value, they gain black market value. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Prohibition.
Now, what do you do about those? Here's another fun one, and this one just dawned on me earlier today. You remember when Nectarine Nero put the tariff on solar panels because it was harming the American solar industry? Remember that? It was just a couple of weeks ago.
Of course I do, Bob. That pissed me the fuck off. Yes,
yeah,
of course
so,
I do. Yes.
He has that power. He has that presidential power. Well, If those Chinese solar panels are a threat to the American solar industry, then what are 5.1 million imported firearms into this country to the American firearms industry?
Mm.
Because that's the number for that's the number for 2017. 5.1 million firearms imported into the United States.
So you got the Glock from Austria. You got Italy, Austria,
Brazil,
Germany,
Brazil, Taurus, Brazil.
Taurus, yeah. Oh, they're very popular.
And the thing is, Taurus has consolidated so much inside Brazil. Taurus makes machine guns and semi-automatic assault rifles. And you know what? In Brazil, they are limited for sale to Brazilian military and Brazilian police.
Mm-hmm. Good. They need it.
A Brazilian can't just walk in. Do you have any idea how many's in a Brazilian? Never mind. Old joke. A Brazilian citizen can't just walk in and buy one of those. Okay, but there are five. All the tool and die, everything, every single piece. They can manufacture it, they pay extremely low wages, and they flood the market with Brazilian firearms. And yet you don't see any tariffs imposed on those now, do you?
Well, look.
But here you've got poor little Remington Arms on the verge of bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Make the argument, Bob. You need to write an editorial. You connecting those dots. Exactly.
So what happened to Make America Great Again? What happened to America First?
Well, wait a minute. Why was he having lunch with the devil himself? He's like, no, they're great people. Remember Wayne Derriere?
Wayne the Peter, yes.
Yeah, you know, and he's like, no, they're fine people. They're great people. Now, and I heard him speak on C-SPAN. They played his speech, and he sounded like he was half drunk. I don't know if he's starting to wear down or not, but, you know, I can't judge. I'm not judging. But, something is wrong with – he doesn't sound quite right. Well, he didn't sound – that's a one-time thing for me because I don't spend time listening to Wayne LaPierre. Back to the I've given a little bit of thought to the the way you can approach it, because I was shocked. Like, you know, when I had a friend who had he died, he's dead now, but when I first moved down here, it was an old college buddy, and you know, this white dude, his parents are kind of, they're not survivalist, but they're ready, I'll put it like that. And they're professional people, and they set them up with a gun store because they like guns. You know, they're outdoors and outdoorsy type people. They got a retention pond. Like, I know where to go if something happens. Whatever. But anyway, I was shocked when I went in there. I was like, oh my God, they got machine guns in there. I was like, you can buy this? He's like, yeah, but you have to have an FFL. He's telling me all this paperwork and shit. But I'm like, really? If I had $678, I could buy this right now. He's like, well, yeah, but you got to wait a couple of days. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want it. I'm just saying. He's like, yeah, you can buy it. I'm like, but why would somebody want something like that? You know, first of all, the ammunition costs too damn much. But that's not even the point. My point is this. Fine. You say, okay. And that's the problem with these guns. There's so many guns out here. There's so many. Especially, I had no idea until I moved down here. People... They buy guns like the kids buy sneakers in New York, you know, in Boston and Philly and stuff. You know, you buy new sneaks every couple of weeks because your sneaks had to be clean. It's always about the shoes. That's how they buy guns.
Yeah, and they sit around. They sit around after church and say, "Hey, looky here, I got me a new 10mm. You want to see it? Look here. Yeah, come over here. Yeah, I got it right under the seat of my truck." Yeah, look at that, baby. Got me a laser sight on it, too. Look at it.
What are you going to do with it?
And then, you know, they engage in after-church dick measuring. Oh, you got a 10mm. That's just fucking hole punch. I got 45. Now, you got your lower muzzle velocity on a 45. Boy, I tell you what, that thing packs a kinetic wallop.
So...
Yeah, but you can't carry but 5 or 6 rounds in that 45. By God, I got a 10mm carrying 19 rounds. In one clip. Mm-hmm. It ain't a clip, you piss in. It's a magazine.
All that shit. Oh, my God. They were going off on that. I had to, you know, C-SPAN. They're wasting too much time on this gun debate. I don't understand where the debate is. But So this is what I'm, you know, I've heard people talk about this insurance thing where, all right, so that's a compromise. All right, you want that type of weapon. Because Congress is not doing their job, or they're doing what they want to do. They're getting paid until this goes back to what I told you a couple years ago. The three most dangerous people, three most dangerous things that happened in this country were George Bush, Citizens United, and that evil man who has that the heart, that artificial heart, Cheney. Because Citizens United opened up a lot of shit that we're dealing with now. But anyway, so, all right, fine. That, you know, we're going to have to compromise somewhere. Okay, so you have to get a permit, make the permit so incredibly expensive. Only the wealthy with huge estates will be able to buy it. Then you got to get insurance on it. And if you get caught with one and you don't have the paperwork, you go straight to prison. There's no questions asked. Like you're a fucking illegal immigrant, which you're hunting down like dogs, which is disgusting. How about that? Let's do that. Let's start there. Because this is going to be a long haul, man. There are, do you know that, what, a year ago, they got a guy down in Somerville, which is about 50 miles from where I am. He had a tractor trailer full of guns, nothing but guns. Like, you can buy an old tractor, like the trailer part, you know, where you haul the cargo.
Yeah.
It had like 10,000 guns in it. You know, I'm not saying all of them work, but I mean, this is going to be like, this hole has been digging for a long time.
Right.
You know, and it's going to take a while, but to talk about putting these guns in the hands of educators and to have this even entertained. And I'm hoping.
It's interesting you would mention that, because I got a couple of stories here.
Please.
As we contemplate arming teachers to the teeth. let's see. Date of this story, November 15th, 2016. I'll just read.
Mm-hmm.
School has transformed from a safe haven to a danger zone for several students of color, after Donald Trump was named president-elect last week, and it doesn't appear the situation will get any better anytime soon. In South Los Angeles, a substitute physical education teacher at Bret Hart Preparatory Middle School told his students that their parents would be deported. If you were born here, then your parents got to go, and they're going to leave you behind. You'll be in foster care, the long-term sub is heard saying in an audio recording by one of the sixth-grade students.
Damn.
Now, that's not all. At one point, a worried student asked, how are they going to find me? The teacher responded, I got your phone numbers, your address, your mama's address, your daddy's address. It's all in the system, sweetie. And when they come and there's an illegal, they got to go.
What?
Sorry.
It doesn't sound like a caring learning environment to me.
No, it doesn't. But it comes with audio.
Oh, shit.
The kid recorded the teacher. And then there's Arizona teacher Bonnie Vern. Okay? Now, this story is from a year ago. Arizona teacher Bonnie Vern resigned from Pardis Jewish Day School in the state's town of Scottsdale after news erupted that she had written violent and xenophobic tweets calling for the death of immigrants. Why deport? Just kill them, Vern responded to a tweet by Ann Coulter, or we can just put a bullet in their head immediately.
What? Wait a minute. I don't even think that's legal to say some shit
The school later released a statement saying that the third grade teacher, who had taught at the institution for 12 years, resigned. Vern deeply regrets having in recent days made comments using her personal social media account that were inappropriate, offensive, and unbefitting of a Pardis teacher.
Okay, wait. So she's been there for fucking 12 years, and we're talking about giving teachers guns. Then, all right, she's teaching third grade. Okay, so what happens when the older sibling, because some of those kids have sisters and brothers, come to the school to pick their sibling up, and she don't know what's going on, and she gets scared. I'm scared.
Oh, here, now again, this is exactly a year ago. Facebook users have since been leaving 5-star reviews on the school's page. We don't know what they're leaving the 5-star reviews about. Because they let her go, or because, well, you don't know. And, you know, Donald Trump, and again, I'm wildly supportive of public education. Now, that teacher was at a private school.
Mm-hmm.
But we must also acknowledge that there are some people in the business who probably ought not be.
Damn right. Oh, absolutely.
And just so, like, and yeah. so, and so, under the yeah. Trump plan, how are you going to? How are you going to deal with? So, if you do any kind of an assessment, and you find out that the person has no business with a gun, are you then going to ask, does this person have any business being in the classroom? And look, I'd be lying. I support. Okay, so there's been a development. It's a big deal. The teacher strike in West Virginia will apparently end on Wednesday, or on Thursday. Jim Justice now says that the teachers are going to get a 5% increase right now, and everybody else going to get 3%. So thereby, thereby driving a wedge between the teachers and the other public employees who are also on strike.
Do you remember when I told you one of the reasons I stopped teaching was that I couldn't afford to teach anymore?
Yeah.
Seriously, there's a reason kids don't want to go to school. Gaping holes in the bathroom, no toilet paper, no soap. You get one ream of paper for your whole, you got 50 kids in a class. You might have, what, 6 to 8 classes a day. You can't, the kids can't take books home. So you got one ream of paper. You can't even make like printouts. You know, you can't run everything off. You know, the important parts of the, what you want them to know. It's just a mess. So no wonder, man, I'm not trying to get off, but people don't understand how bad it is. It's so bad. It is so bad. You can't afford it. So anyway, if you want to be a successful teacher, you got to spend out of your pocket to really. You know, if you're lucky enough to have a classroom, because sometimes you just have a cart where you just got to go because, you know, all the classrooms are messed up. So, you know, you got to use what rooms are decent. And I'm just saying, a lot of folks don't understand how bad it is, how really, really bad the state of our educational system is. And, to ask teachers and all teachers, most teachers are stressed out because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of stuff, you know, because kids come to school with baggage. And if you're a good teacher, they're going to talk to you. They're going to, you know, pull you to the side after class and tell you, like, personal stuff that you really don't want to hear. And you got to go to the school counselor and write it down, because if you don't, you know, something might happen. And, you know, so, yeah, so it's an awful, awful, awful. I just don't understand how this idea has even gotten this far. Because even trained professionals are not able to do this effectively. And you're going to ask a teacher? And that's the other thing. Can you kill a motherfucker?
Let's work a little. So, again, I'm going back to the initial premise. In an ambush, you're already screwed. And all of these school shootings are, to one degree or another, an ambush. When this little bastard pulled the fire alarm, as we're told he did, to get kids into the hall and chaos and more targets.
Mm.
Well, that was an ambush. Okay, so that means he gets the first shot. So what we're actually what we're actually asking teachers to do is to go hunting. So you're going to have 5, 10, 15 teachers strapping in a school, and when a shooter starts shooting, they're all going to go out hunting. Probably shoot each other.
That's what I was about to say.
And then Clarence with a note, subject line, black teachers with guns. Bob, imagine the police responding to a school shooting. When they arrive, the first person they see is a brother with a freedom protector. A volley of bullets strike the brother, terminates him. The police are told this person was staff. Arming teachers is a bad idea overall. Minority staff being armed on campus is suicide by cop just waiting to happen.
Isn't Clarence in North Philly?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Clarence. So, Yeah, and see, that reminds me of something else. Remember, when undercover cops go out, remember, especially black undercover cops get shot a lot because they're told to wear, like, certain things, like a certain color. Like, you're undercover a certain day, you're in a high-crime neighborhood, they're supposed to wear a certain type of clothing. And they often get shot. It happens all the time because, you know, they dress like, you know, people on their corner, you know. What they used to call the bag. I don't know, baggy pants aren't that popular anymore in some places, but, you know, certain attire to make you look like, you know, you're on the street, like you're a street hustler, that type of attire. So this is, I just can't, I just don't, I don't know. Who's speaking up? Where is Betsy? See, this is where we need experience. Betsy DeVos, the woman who knows jack nothing about education, right? Now, this is where we need a voice saying, you know, this is not a good idea. But we don't have that because we have neophytes, dumbasses, sycophants, and grifters.
Well, but there has been a moment, okay? This was yesterday. At the White House, they had a
where that nigger used to sit on the toilet. See, that's the fucking problem. That nigger used to sit on the toilet in the White House. This got us all this fucking trouble. All right, I had to get it out there. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand. I hate that word, Todd. I hate that word.
All right.
You know.
I mean,
it's okay.
I forgot.
No,
I'm not doing the B word. I'm not body shaming that pasty faced woman who's supposed to be a press secretary. I'm not talking about her anymore. Okay,
yeah,
I'm okay. Sorry,
but okay. So there was a whole bunch of governors, people who actually have the task of running individual states, and they had a luncheon at the White House. And Trump stood up and started blathering on about the guns and shit. And Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, stood up and talked back. And this is basically what happened.
Arming a small portion that are very gun adept, that truly know how to handle. Because I do feel, Governor, it's very important that gun-free zones, you have a gun-free zone. It's like an invitation for these very sick people to go there.
You dumbass. You're sitting in the middle of a gun-free zone. Now, there are people outside the White House with guns, but John Kelly doesn't walk around with a .44 strapped to his leg. No. Just no. But anyway, so.
No, you're right. I'm glad you said that.
I do think that there has to be some form of major retaliation if they're able to enter a school. And if that happens, you're not going to have any problems anymore because they never go into the school. You're never going to have a problem. So it would just be a very small group of people that are very gun adept. Anyway, go ahead, Governor.
If I may respond to that, let me just suggest whatever percentage it is. I heard at one time you might have suggested 20%. Whatever percentage it is, speaking as a grandfather,
right,
speaking as a governor of the state of Washington, I have listened to the people who would be affected by that. I have listened to the biology teachers, and they don't want to do that at any percentage. I've listened to the first grade teachers that don't want to be pistol packing first grade teachers. I've listened to law enforcement who have said they don't want to have to train teachers as law enforcement agencies, which takes about 6 months. Now, I just think this is a circumstance where we need to listen, that educators should educate, and they should not be foisted upon this responsibility of packing heat in first grade classes. Now, I understand you have suggested this, and we suggest things, and sometimes then we listen to people about it, and maybe they don't look so good a little later. So I just suggest we need a little less tweeting here, a little more listening, and let's just take that off the table and move forward.
All right, thank you very much. You know, we have a number of states right now that do that, and I think with that in mind, I'll call on Greg Abbott, great governor of Texas.
Now, okay, so let me give you a little play-by-play of the video. When Jay, mm-hmm. When Jay Inslee was gently dressing him down, say the way that you would explain.
Is that who was nice about telling Trump that he was a dumbass?
Yeah,
that
that's
was?
Jay Inslee of Washington. Trump
okay.
crossed his arm and wagged back and forth like he was rocking a baby in his arms.
What?
Yeah. He just crossed his arms in front of him and sort of pivoted at the waist back and forth. Like he couldn't, you know, he had no interest whatsoever in what Governor Inslee was saying. And
and
frankly, Inslee didn't call him the hopeless dumbass that he deserves to be called. He was gentle, like he was talking to a kid that got something awful happened to him at birth. And he didn't have all of his faculties.
Mm-hmm. Right, he was kind to the mentally ill person.
He was gentle with him. And said, you know, I mean, I don't know if you caught it, but that moment where he said, you know, maybe we just sometimes we say things and we think they're a good idea, but if we have a little more listening and a little less tweeting, we find out maybe it wasn't such a good idea.
He was so good. That was a very good.
That's a first grade teacher. Talking to a kid who's playing in his own poop, because that's the kind of president we have. I mean, Jesus, he
say it again, Bob. Please say it again, because you have a platform. Say it again, please.
No, we have a president who's the functional equivalent of a first grader playing in his own poop. I mean, today, you know, even after yesterday, a little less tweeting, a little more thinking, a little more listening. So what does he do today? All caps, two words, witch hunt, in a tweet. You know, the first thing I thought was werewolf. Their wolf, their castle. Hey, damn.
Wow.
And meanwhile, at the same time, in the same series of meetings, the White House Cabinet Secretary of Racism, Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
That little prick fell asleep.
I saw that on the Hill.
He nodded off sleepier than Delegate Roy Cooper in the West Virginia legislature. Damn.
All right. Speaking of Miller, this is something that I've been wanting to say just for a long time. All right, why has our media and maybe the Americans, not this family, why have people embraced these euphemisms about Nazis, racists, Klansmen? This white nationalist bullshit. You say what the fuck they are. They're hateful.
Yeah,
white
America
people.
Has a Nazi problem.
And it ain't new.
No, it's just more broadly new. Out in the open.
So, you know, and these people, man, who, you know, say, well, Russia's got nothing to do with it, and Mueller hadn't produced anything yet. Of course not. It's an open investigation. You know, really, we have a whole bunch of delusional people. Too many. You know, like a standard deviation roughly is, what, 33%? You know, something like that. So, which is significant. That's why it's called statistically significant, you know, because that means you've moved beyond something that's beyond chance. It's significant. It's like, well, you know, it's not going to break you, but it'll fucking hurt you. You know? And this is what we're dealing with. And I don't know where this shit came from. I mean, maybe it was already here, but I know things were better. I'm old enough to remember when things were much better in terms of race and in terms of accepting people. And it wasn't that long ago. And the only when you select out all the other variables, once again, it was because that black guy was in the White House. Now all hell is broken loose. So and this is the way I interpret it. This is the way I'm seeing it right now. Okay, you had your black president, whoever you is, you know, whoever, because a lot of white folks you know, everybody's
yeah,
black.
Yeah, racism. You had your black president. The right. Dr. King's dream was fulfilled. There is no more racism in America.
There's right, and so now we have anything's open. So, but because I'm telling you, the guy at the street at the store, I was like, but yeah, but they're not qualified. But that's what we want. Here's what he said. Well, that's what we want. And I'm not going to do his accent, but I could, but I'm not.
Oh, you're welcome. Like, you're welcome to do that.
That's what we want. We want something fresh. We know something new. Something fresh, you know, clean out Washington. We them people. We don't need them educated people.
Drain the swamp.
We need real people.
Drain the swamp, damn it.
Drain the swamp. They're part of the problem. I'm like, but they don't know. They don't know anything about their position. That's what I want. He said, that's what I want. I'm like, but the woman in charge of education doesn't know anything about education. That's all right. I'm like, oh. Then I just looked at him for a minute. I think I don't know what happened to me. I don't know. I went to another dimension or something. And so then I came back and I was like, what? But you know what? I said that's when I brought into the orthopedic surgeon argument. I'm like, okay, so you need a hip replacement. Do you go to the butcher or the orthopedic surgeon? Because they both deal with joints. They both cut shit open, meat, right? Cleavers, meat, knives, saws. You know, what's the difference? You could save some money. Go to the butcher.
Oh, you just got, you funding me now. You need to get your hair cut.
I said, I'm bald, motherfucker.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I know.
So, I'm telling you, and this is not the only mother, and then they got this fucking Hillary Clinton Tourette syndrome. You could be talking about something, you know, trying to have a substantial conversation with your troll. And all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about, well, the tax rate, this, Hillary Clinton. I'm like, where'd that come from? I'm like, but she's not president.
My toilet backed up this morning. Hillary Clinton, Benghazi. But her emails.
But Bob, I thought that was a rumor. I mean, seriously, you would hear people talk about it on the television and shit like that, right? And I saw it in real action, real life. And I'm like, oh, my God. Hit, like they used to talk about Obama derangement syndrome. These people have lost their fucking mind. So we have a lot of work to do. And this whole strapping teachers up, it's the worst. I don't know where to go because I can't say it's the worst idea because tomorrow, you know, there's still more hours in the day. I don't know what is going to happen to us because if this whole administration and all his cronies, if they are not Russian agents, they are surely acting as such. They're performing that function. You know?
Yeah.
The Discord. If someone attacked us now, our shit is all fucked up. We're all out of order.
Why do you think that sowing chaos is a central element of Russian foreign policy?
Wait, did you say chaos?
Yeah. Why do you think that sowing chaos is a central element of Russian foreign policy?
But wait a minute. I remember after school, there was this rerun of this old show from the 60s, Get Smart.
Oh, yeah. That was KAOS. Yeah. Was it KAOS?
I think it was. But it was. It sounded it was a phonetically chaos.
Right.
So maybe they knew something.
Well, I mean, it has long been a central tenet of Russian foreign policy because any government, I mean, you don't have to be communist in order for this to, no, it's just a matter of trying to make things chaotic so that you can get away with more shit that you're trying to get away with.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm not that optimistic because right now I feel like our party, which you know, for good or worse, this three-party shit. I don't want to hear anybody talking about that shit right now. That is bullshit. Fuck that. This is us against them right now. And us.
I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Mike Rogers, Admiral Mike Rogers, testified before the Senate today.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and he was asked in no uncertain terms, are you ready that if we take it as a given, and we know, are we ready for the next time our elections get screwed with? And he said, no. He said, I would need, in order to do what I need to do, I need a specific order from the White House. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they said, right. Has Donald Trump given you that specific guidance? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, he hasn't.
That's what I'm talking about. The sanctions, he won't, it's already law, but he's not sending a message to enforce it. You see, he won't say anything next. I mean, it was so obvious from, like, what, a year and a half ago that he was under some type of, if it wasn't blackmail, it was something else. You know, something, they had something on him because you could see when they jerked his string. Every time he jerked his string, you could tell. You know, like he's a marionette. Now, this is very problematic because apparently this shit is very wide. This is like what I used to think when I was a kid, when I would see literature, movies from the people who were before me, right? When they would talk about, oh, this widespread communist threat, you know, McCarthy. I'm like, oh, God, the guy was just crazy. But guess what? That's what's fucking going on now. This is the real deal now. We've gone to sleep. This shit is fucking real. They have compromised so many people by money or by whatever they can be compromised by. Or their ideology, because maybe they can think what they can get out of this guy, out of this administration right now, this nappy-headed Negro. All right? So and this is going to take a lot. We're in crisis mode now. And the economy's about to crash. This thing is way overheated. All this shit is phony. This is fucking bullshit. This is totally phony. This is phony. You saw the housing. Now they show new housing buyers down. So one more month, and that's you know 2 months is a data point, but it's not. After 3 months, it's a trend. That's when it's officially called a trend. So we'll see what happens when the new numbers come in. Back to what I was saying before about this third-party bullshit. My concern right now is that the DNC, Perez looks weak to me. I'm sorry, the man is weak. I have not heard anything good. We can't just be anti-Trump. We've got to have.
No. I'm with you there. And frankly, I'm about half disgusted over something that the DCCC got caught doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but
you mean again with Bernie or
no. This is new.
No more. Oh
yeah,
God.
Yeah. Sorry. In the immediate 24 hours following the mass murder in Las Vegas. And see, now this is still not going to make me, goddamn Debbie Wasserman Schultz. No, this is the DCCC. Okay, this is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Bernie would have won. No, I'm not going to go down that road.
No, we're past it now.
But somewhere along the way, we've got to learn to stop stepping on our own feet.
Mm-hmm.
In the immediate aftermath of the Vegas massacre, 58 people dead, what, 500 people shot by a lawful gun owner who legally purchased his firearms? Right, just, you know.
Yeah.
An email went out from DCCC Regional Press Secretary Evan Lukoski. That email read as follows. You and your candidate will be understandably outraged and upset, as will your community. However, all caps, do not politicize it today. There will be time for politics and policy discussion, but any message today should be on offering thoughts, prayers for victims and their families, and thanking first responders who saved lives. No, really.
You know what? It would have been better not to
thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
No. Just don't say, if you're going to say that, don't say anything. Just don't say anything.
Compare that with what Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags said.
This is an unspeakable tragedy. Today is a day for consoling of survivors and mourning those we lost. There is a time and place for political debate, but now is a time to unite as a country.
This is cluelessness.
Okay. See, Bob, I'm glad you brought those two disparate opinions from folks from different camps on it. You see, this is what I don't understand. We have to start calling this terrorism. Because if you were in Vegas, the way they had that thing set up, you're basically in like enclosed in a cow pen almost. Nowhere to go.
Yeah.
One way out.
Right.
All right. And you felt terrorized. These children they're making go back to school in Florida, in Parkland. They feel terror. If you ask them how they feel, you know, not without leading questions, you could, you know, not a loaded question, but you can get them if you interview them. They feel. I've heard the interviews. They feel terrorized. They're going through. Some of them going through. You know, not everybody, but you know, they're going through post-traumatic stress. And why wouldn't they be? Why should they be asked to go back to that structure, that campus? Why should they be?
I mean, I understand the place where this came from. In other words, don't step on your own feet. But it comes from a place of being afraid of the media response, Todd. Because, you know, if you say anything about it, then Fox News will say, look, they're politicizing it. Now, but see, that's the whole point. It got politicized when the fucker squeezed the trigger the first time. And with every bullet that flew from the muzzle of his firearms, it was further politicized. How can opening fire on a group of concert goers not be political in nature when the ability to do that is predicated exclusively, totally, and specifically on political failures and political deliberate acts that put those firearms in that killer's hands? It was politicized before he squeezed the trigger, Todd. But you got somebody sipping a latte and sending out an email about just send out thoughts and prayers instead. There is a segment of the American population, you're part of it, I'm part of it, the Horn Family Community Congregation is part of it, that are absolutely disgusted by the words thoughts and prayers. Because it has become a mnemonic for doing nothing.
Do you know what that does to us? When I hear somebody say that shit, it makes me want to get, I don't want to say violent, but it makes me want to lash out. You know, verbally.
Hey, pray in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first.
My daughter. And they will not say, well, it's like, it's not the gun's fault. It's not the, well, you know what?
Yeah, well, I remember about a year and a half ago and pissed off a couple of people. We had our little annual street fair downtown. And I talked about it on air. The guy that had Confederate flags all over the place. And then my particular favorite, the T-shirt with the outline of an AR-15 on it and the words under it that said, is it because I'm black?
Oh, that's fucking nuts. That's fucking obnoxious. I, you know what?
You know, so we got some We got some psychopathic gun fetishism mixed in with some racism in the same T-shirt.
That's some fucked up shit. He's telling you who the fuck he is right there by wearing that fucking T-shirt.
Selling it. He had a stack of them.
Damn.
In all sizes. Maybe even some pink ones for the girls.
Oh, no wonder you fucking said something. Oh my god. I mean, you know, people.
But I've seen it on decals on trucks. Is it because I'm black? Sickening.
Okay. Well. We'll see. I don't know what's going to become of our country, man. I really don't, because I don't see.
Well, look, here's.
I don't know.
With the struggle for civil rights in this country in the 50s and 60s, there were people who said, you know, some of these old attitudes are just going to have to be allowed to die off. But we will build a better future. I think Dr. King at some point said, you know, I may not see the promised land with you, but we will get there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in the same spot again. Only now it's guns. And, well, you know, we're just going to have to let the gun goobers die off, and then we'll finally get around to doing something about it. But I got a story sitting right here, Todd. They ran out to a Florida shooting club and found themselves some teenagers who said, "Well, us shooting guns a lifestyle."
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it's a death style. It's a death style. Because not one of those young people standing there at the shooting 'em up range. It can guarantee that one of the people there standing there isn't going to go and blow away a school. Fact. Reuters had the story.
Mm.
A member of the Markham Skeet Trap and Sporting Clays Club, Rihanna Frowens, about the same age as many of the 17 victims killed by a shooter with an assault rifle at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School. Unlike many survivors of the massacre, the 16-year-old sees a nascent student-led campaign for tighter gun controls as a threat to her rights under the U.S. Constitution. And she said, "It's a horrible tragedy, but when people start promoting gun control, I'm taken aback a little bit, because it's a sport, it's a lifestyle, and a lot of people don't realize that."
A lifestyle?
We have a tradition of hunting in my family, and to hear that people want to take it away and put many restrictions on it sounds unrealistic. Well, sister, if you have to go into the woods with an AR-15 and 150 rounds, that ain't hunting. And whatever you hit is not going to be worth dragging home. It's going to be hamburger on the hoof. That's not hunting. And nobody's talking about taking away anybody's bolt action 30-06 or 270 or 280 or 708 or 30, whatever. Nobody's talking about any of that. It's a matter of capacity, and it's a matter of design.
Yeah, right. And like you were saying last night, they are in this kit last night, exactly. And you know, you made a really cogent argument. That's why it's an assault rifle, and when you see the videos of what those I really didn't know that until a few years ago. I didn't know the difference between a heavy bullet and a light bullet and this and that. Until a friend of mine was explaining it. He was ex-military, and you know, those fast light bullets. That's why those 9mm those Glocks came in. Yeah. You know, because cops used to.
Oh, wait! Here's some more. Down at the range, Damian Kreller said he's been reluctant to discuss his hobby with school friends since the massacre. People like to point fingers, said the 12-year-old. Okay, because you see that the NRA has pumped hundreds of millions of dollars into getting children into guns early, because just like church, if you get them early, you got them for life.
But, all right, I have a question for you. Now, I went to overnight camp for a number of years. And, you know, you go away for a couple few weeks and you come home. And that's where I learned archery, and I was really good at it. I got medals. I still have a bow. And we had riflery. And I don't know anybody that went gun nutty, crazy. But they were little 22s, and they handed out you one bullet. You know, you lay down on the mattress, and you shot at the target.
Like I said, I fulfilled my PE credit in college with that.
And they explained to you exactly.
Because there's no way I was going to take basketball in PE, because I am firmly rooted to the earth. Gravity has a greater hold on me than most human beings.
In New Orleans, man, we're going to play some one-on-one at the State Farm.
Yeah, that'll be funny. I'll just sit there and watch you run back and forth to the basket. I'll whip your ass in foosball, but no. Ain't playing no hoops.
Are you going to knock me in from the goalie position, man, to make that big sound? Pop.
Yeah, you won't even see the ball.
Is that what you do with that sandwich place? You guys drink good beer and play foosball?
Yeah, they got one there.
But that crack, when somebody cracks me and they go, you know that sound I'm talking. It's like
I got my schooling in college out in Missouri. Those are some hardcores. They played something they called clean.
What is it?
They played clean. Can't score with the five man. Ball cannot touch another player.
Oh, hell no. That's crazy. How can you shoot the ball through all those men and not touch anything?
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, if you're good, you can score. You can score from the two-man back on your own goal, and it won't touch a thing.
Man, you're talking about pulling that lever and snapping that thing quick. That's pretty okay.
Sounds like a firecracker. But no, you know, I don't know. I suck at bowling, too. You can probably whip my ass in bowling.
No, I'm not bowling. I suck
at eight ball. Billable Rick was talking about shooting pool. Yeah, I'm not very. I'm not very good at many sports. Used to be halfway decent at racquetball.
Wait a minute. Have you not? Oh my God! This is some of the best memories of my life. I bet you Billable Rick did this. You go out like I don't know. I had this friend. He played pool, and we were business together, and we like to drink good beer. So we go out to a couple of bars. He taught me how to play pool. And he was like, come on, Ty, we're going to go out. I taught you how now. And we're going to play for money. I'm like, I don't want to play for money. He's like, no, listen. You put quarters on the table, and then you play for beer. And then once you do that, man, and you fucking start winning, and you run the table all night, everybody's looking at you. And you're playing for beer. And you spend $1. And you drink all night, and you might go home with some money in your pocket. Because I don't really like playing for money, because it gets complicated. But you can play for beer. I mean, everybody's seen, like, you're playing for beer, they're going to be shamed if they don't, you know, get you your beer. That shit pops anyway. I heard you say racquetball, but I'm telling you, that's why people get addicted to pool. Like, I'm okay. I'm average. But man, yo. But nine ball, yeah, nine ball's crazy. But, man, if you could fucking hit, you hit that ball right.
I know.
Okay, I just hit people. People are out there. I know they play pool. I'm sorry, but that was, man, that was, that's some fun shit. But you got to be careful who you play pool with. People get upset, man, when you beat them and they think they're top dog and you fucking just roll in. And then I played pool in Mobile, Alabama, man. I had to get the fuck.
Had to run. Yeah. All right, Todd, it's been a lovely conversation, man. It always is. It's getting warmer and warmer, Todd. It's getting close to time. I hope you got the wood laid in.
I got it going, man. That pecan's looking all seasoned. And thanks for dealing with me. And, you know, hey, everybody, listen, just because it's advertisement-free Tuesday doesn't mean that you can't help out. So put a couple quarters in the machine. Keep the thing going.
On the side, you mean on the side of the pool table?
On the side of Bob's pool, on the side of the horn pool table. Yeah.
Thanks, Todd. You have a good night, man.
All right.
Later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. We have some great conversations. A couple of emails to share. First off, from Robert in Australia. Movie fantasies. All these people who want to arm teachers have watched too many Hollywood shootouts. They see themselves as the person who runs in and saves the day by shooting at all the bad guys. They're probably practicing catchphrases to say afterwards. Make my day. Remember the film Grand Canyon, in which Steve Martin plays a Hollywood producer who makes violent films? There, right there. I want his brain to explode out the back of his head. Then our hero says, "That'll give you something to think about." Later in the film, he's shot in the leg while being robbed, and we see him laying on the ground, urine stains on his pants, blood pooling around, and it's all over in a flash. Later, we find out nerve damage left him with a crippled leg as he walks around on a crutch. Their gun fantasy is not reality. Oh, no. I don't think anybody said it more clearly than what Robert has. They're playing out movies in their minds. But the thing that goes along with that is, like I said, no one who has ever purchased an AR-15 has not contemplated killing someone with it. 98% have, and the other 2% are lying. Period. They're just lying. And in many instances, you can say that with a whole lot of firearms. And by the way, Just to keep us all sort of focused on how complex this problem is, I got curious today because I had a list. The number of banks, get this, the number of banks that finance the firearms industry is astonishing. Bank of America, Bank of Montreal, BB&T, Berkshire Bank, Capital One, What's in your holster? Citizens Bank, Morgan Stanley, MUFG. That sounds filthy. Northern Trust, People's United Bank, Regions Bank, Stifel, TD Bank, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Zions Bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. And they finance Remington Outdoors, getting ready to declare bankruptcy, Smith & Wesson, Sturm Ruger, Sig Sauer, and Vista Outdoor. Vista Outdoor, it turns out, I never really heard about them, but Vista Outdoor, among other things, they make Savage Arms, but they also make Bushnell Optics. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a longer list than what Smithfield Meats does. Let's see, brands. Simmons, Millet, Tasco, Weaver, Bushnell Golf, Bushnell, Knight Optics, Primos, Gold Tip, Bee Stinger, Bole, you know, the sunglasses and stuff. Serengeti, the most advanced eyewear. Butler Creek, Champion Range and Target, RCBS. Blackhawk, Bole Safety. Sebe, Pure Adrenaline, I don't know. Uncle Mike's, Eagle, Hoppies, Gun Slick. Outers, Federal Premium Ammunition. Estate Cartridge. Alliant Powder. CCI. Savage Arms, Rascals, Bell Helmets, Gunmate, American Eagle, Force and Force, and they've got a rolling line of credit with just about every one of the banks that I just mentioned. Bank of Montreal, thanks for nothing. Yeah, they've got a line of credit with Vista Outdoors. But the whole thing is, Vista Outdoors is the manufacturer of the gun that Adam Lanza used to kill Mother Lanza before he headed off to Sandy Hook Elementary. Now, I did some research. I'm pretty sure that while he used an AR-15 at Sandy Hook, when he started out and he took down Mother Lanza, he blew her brains out with what appears to have been a bolt-action 22 caliber rifle, just a plain old 22 like you plink at tin cans with. Still a gun. It would not be touched by a semi-automatic weapons ban. See how it... See how complicated it gets? This is not to say we shouldn't do anything because we can't stop everything. I'm not one of those loons. But this is going to take multiple lines of address. And I still say the single best and probably least likely to be subject to constitutional challenge is insurance. Insurance will not write against or will not write a policy for intentional criminal acts. You can't buy that. But if you require insurance for every firearm for accidental or negligent, grossly negligent, or willful, wanton, and reckless discharge, ha-ha, there we go. And if those rates are based upon the costs involved with paying for the medical treatment of someone wounded by an accidental discharge, then even the economy of scale can't keep that coverage cheap. And the NRA's insurance ain't going to do it neither. Okay? 21 past the hour, and our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com is on the line. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. And I also have my new buddy, Lizzie, with us as well. So she says hello.
Howdy.
You may or may not hear her bark because she's been very playful tonight. That being said, I have been on a tangent on my show, some say, for the past week, because everybody is worried about the NRA, which is a legitimate worry and a legitimate concern. But I'd like to point out that, like terrorist organizations, there is always another one waiting in the roost. And I know you know. Of the gun owners of America.
Oh, yeah, those loons. Yeah, the ones that make the NRA seem sane.
Yes. And we played some stuff that Right Wing Watch. It's almost as if they knew that I was going, had been trying to rally everybody to, like, okay, if we are lucky to get rid of the NRA. It's like right-wing talk radio. There's always someone else to fill the crazy spot.
Oh, and Larry Pratt has been fulfilling that role for a very long time.
Yes, and on my show for a very long time, people have asked me, well, Tom, why do you cover these people? Why, it's always almost the same thing. And that's why. Because of now. Because now we have a great revolt against the NRA. And like President Obama would sometimes ask that I know of, what's next? And I know of them when I was just a humble little libertarian trying to smoke pot and get laid, as Tom Hartman would say, you know? And I don't know if you, know her by name, but, have you heard about Raleigh James?
I don't think so, no.
She was on WPHT in Philadelphia, and her and I, when I was more libertarian than liberal, talk, and that's how I first found out about them. We're talking when I was in my very early 30s, and I'm 40 now. And she was saying that they were a good alternative if you didn't like the NRA and the NRA's stances.
Right. If you think the NRA is just too commie liberal, Gun Owners of America is for you.
Yeah. And I'm trying to stress this, and I feel like I'm the lone guy, to use the Game of Thrones reference, saying winter is coming and nobody believes me.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, there's always somebody to fill that void. They have 1.5 million members, supposedly. And you know the other members who are the Looney Tunes ones will jump ship to them if the NRA just says, okay, we're only going to do this, this, and this. And they're going to go to the Gun Owners of America. And they're waiting in the wings. And there's a video that I talked about where that talked about gun-free zones. Well, it doesn't talk. It shows gun-free zones where two white people, one is the girl, the pretty white blonde girl getting shot
of course
in the head, and the white man trying to keep saving him with a gun-free, her with a gun-free zone, and he keeps at first trying to do it with gun-free zones, then without any training whatsoever, and I'm giving it away, spoiler alert, hate me, doubtingtom@fynation.com. They literally have, I guess, a stopwatch flux capacitor now.
Really?
Where he would, yeah, totally awesome technology, where he is able to plant the gun right next to her, the dead body of his woman, because you know it's his woman who bakes him a sandwich, right? And he hears, which you didn't hear throughout any of the other ending of it, gunshots, and goes running because he thinks it's the girlfriend who's dead, in you know, that look of terror on his face, right? And then you find the person who shot her. But what you don't hear is, in the end, and that's how they end, what you don't hear is, 911, what's your emergency? You don't hear any of the aftermath that would follow some rational person who was attacked by someone who was coming at them with a gun and had to protect themselves. And aside from the whole thing being completely silly and idiotic, if you can actually get through it without your head exploding, and I did, then my head exploded, I just need to stress that these are how these people think, and I don't want to be like a sycophant to what you're saying with the AR-15.
Yeah. No, you
don't
have to.
But you're not wrong. And these kids get it because they all grew up to it. And this is why, for the first time, I finally have some hope with this issue. But we have to have
But look, I'm going to.
Please.
I'm going to probably pee on your shoes again.
Okay, well, I'm used to it. It's okay.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's been some talk of, you know, the Republicans have to do that. But God damn it, the Republicans are not going to do diddly, all right?
Yeah, I agree.
So once again, as has been the case with everything else we've talked about with the problems we have in this country, it hinges on November, okay?
Yes.
And it hinges on the ability of Democrats to not shatter into a million tiny pieces and prove themselves unable to meet the challenge at hand.
Yes.
And Thomas, there's evidence out there that suggests that no, that ain't the case. For instance, the DCCC that I was talking about a few minutes ago with Todd.
Yes.
They launched an attack. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee launched an attack on a woman who's a candidate for Congress in Texas.
Lord.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
They launched the attack on her because they decided that she wasn't their chosen candidate, even though she's been an activist who has busted her ass in her district.
Unbelievable.
And they dropped Oppo research on her. I'm not kidding.
No, I know this. I know this from personal experience. We have, I emailed you about our friend Matthias. I won't get into it.
I've got her name here.
Okay.
Her name is Laura Moser. She's a progressive candidate. She is one out of seven Democrats that are contending in the primary to run against the incumbent Republican, John Culbertson. And the DCCC accused her of being a Washington insider.
Unbelievable.
And they, Jesus.
It's like they want.
And then there's I don't know if you follow Randy Bryce at all. Iron Stash up in Wisconsin. He's built this huge grassroots movement aimed at taking out Paul Ryan. That's the easiest way. Send Paul Ryan into his happy libertarian wonderland retirement.
Yeah, and he can be a lobbyist.
Where he can just continue to suck off the federal teat for the rest of his born days.
Yep, he's good at that.
So, lo and behold, there's a movement inside the Democratic Party up in that district to smear him over a couple of personal failings relating to money.
Yep.
In favor of a woman who sits on a school board somewhere and has every bit of like 9,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, yippee.
But the purity centrists, it's not just the purity left, there's a purity center.
Yes.
Have decided that that he's insufficient because Bernie showed up and held a rally alongside him that brought out thousands of potential voters. And what these are pissed off Hilarians. And so since Bernie showed up and spoke in support of him, they've decided that he's insufficiently politically pure, and I've seen the smear campaign run against him. And I guess we're just systemically incapable of simply running primary campaigns, and so whatever happens, you're going to have a bunch of butthurt Democrats again.
Yep.
With a reason to stay away from the polls in droves. And guarantee us another Congress fresh out of bedlam. And it pisses me off, Thomas.
No, it pisses me off too. And it's like, I've said this on my show. It's kind of like when you go to the store and you don't have all the money you need to get everything you want. You go to the must-have, you go to the would-like, and then you go to the, okay, maybe, but I can live without. And then you get those things. Now, I've learned not to tell people who to vote for because I just won't do that anymore. I will say who I'm supporting, and I will say who I'm supporting hard. like Dennis Kucinich, who would be an awesome governor for Ohio, and not just because I believe he's a real human being, but because he embodies democratic socialism and the FDR Democratic wing of the party. And he would be great for that. And he has the support of Bernie's group. I can't remember the name of it.
Our Revolution.
Yes. Yes. He recently gained the support of Our Revolution. So tick that off the box. And it's like, I want a guy or girl or woman who will meet most of what I want. And if I don't, if my chosen candidate doesn't get that, I'll go to the next one. But I will caveat that by saying, because I did vote for the Republican mayor in my town and burn me at the stake for it. The man ran a better campaign than the Democratic Party did, in my opinion. And it was like watching the Hillary Clinton people run a campaign in a small town compared to a guy who knew what he was doing. Whether or not you agreed with how he runs the city, that's a whole nother thing. But that being said, I'd rather have somebody who knows a campaign and is at least trying and shows it on both sides, you know, and then we can, and then we'll be willing to have an open door policy in a small town that's mostly Democratic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And I'm not into the broad brushing. I'm just not, because I've done it before and it cost me, you know, Bernie Sanders winning. It's cost me a lot of hope. And when I've done that, let alone listeners, I'll do my show with one listener. But Bob, I got to tell you, we have to, I don't want to come off like a sycophant, but damn it, you're right. And we can't fight a battle without any troops.
No. And, you know, as Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Indeed.
And somewhere along the way, we've got to decide. And look, the DCCC has done well. There's a race in the Lancaster, PA area, where a woman went out. She's pro-choice. She's busted her ass for women's reproductive rights. She runs a nonprofit that helps women struggling to improve their economic lot in life. She got endorsements, and then the so-called intelligentsia decided that they wanted to back a woman who got fucking pasted in 2016, including Emily's List. Emily's List, you know, supposedly backs candidates with strong pro-choice stances. Well, there was no stronger pro-choice stance than this woman. Her name's King.
Yeah.
But instead, they shivved her and endorsed the woman who got the shit kicked out of her in 2016. Go figure.
Yeah.
And then the DCCC held a candidates meeting in D.C. They invited the woman who got the shit kicked out of her, didn't invite the other candidate, who's already done all the grassroots organizing, who's got votes from people opposed to fracking, who's got the pro-choice vote, who's built a network of immigrants and people of color.
Yep.
Yeah, she didn't get an invitation.
Of course. And the blame goes to the right people that you're blaming.
Look, the DCCC has no business in any primary contest. That's the whole purpose of primaries.
Yeah.
You root hog or die, and a tough hide lasts the longest.
Yep.
It's fairly simple.
No, I agree.
So there you know. Oh, well. But it's good to hear from you, Thomas.
I'm glad I got a chance to say what I needed to say. And my apologies to the folks who were listening to Some Say and got you over Some Say. Not that you're bad, but we had some technical difficulties last night because reasons. We didn't get our George Soros check.
I understand. I'm waiting on my George. I check the mail every day, and it's just...
I know. It's or Alex. He has a kid. Who knew? You know?
I know. George,
you have a good day, my friend.
George Clooney check's not there either.
Right? These Hollywood people. What the hell? All right, my friend.
All right. You take care, Thomas. Bye-bye. So it's about 19 minutes before the hour. That's our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com. And, okay, we'll keep it rolling. Let's check in with Scott and Punky. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Wait a minute. You there?
I'm here.
Hello? Okay.
I was here before you had me. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Let me plug in my thing because I can't hear too well on the.
I've been here all along. I have a rock solid alibi.
Shit, where's the hole?
You know.
There we go. It's on the hole.
If I told you the number of times that I've said that, well, yeah, probably best not discussed. right up there with "Is Jesus. It in yet?" You know. I mean,
yeah. It's a great clue for crossword puzzles. 3 two-letter words meaning small or short. Is it in?
Whoa.
Okay, here we go. I've got a very quick TV viewing tip.
Shrinkage. No, go ahead.
I've got a very quick TV viewing tip that I emailed you, but after I emailed, I saw that the film was only an hour and 8 minutes, so I watched it while waiting for the show to start. It's called Corporate FM. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a 2012 documentary done by a guy in Kansas City, where I lived for the better part of the 1980s.
And where Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, holds court even as we speak.
I know. It's that small world dynamic that we love so much. But anyway, during my almost decade in Kansas City, I worked for 3 radio stations. So I had a pretty good feel of the radio landscape, at least back then, prior to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which has caused a blight upon the land, if I do say so myself. Well, this movie, this documentary, Corporate FM, is about radio, not just in Kansas City, but in other parts of the country, including such far-flung places as Topeka, Lawrence, Kansas, San Diego, California, and other places on the great radio map. And I must tell you that it is excellent. Now, granted, it was done in 2012, and here it is, the early part of 2018, and it's only gotten worse. Because 2 of the companies, the big mega corporate broadcast owners in America. You remember Clear Channel? Well, that's now called iHeartRadio. Yeah, God help us. It's like the name of some of these bills that come out of Republican Congresses and Senates. The name says it all, except it makes you think that it's one thing, but it's almost always the exact opposite. You know, these short titles to bills and legislation. So we've got iHeart and we've got Cumulus. Now, both of these companies in 2018 are on the verge of bankruptcy. Their stock is selling, if it's selling at all, for literally pennies. And when I say pennies, under a dollar. And by under, I mean way the fuck under a dollar. And I'm sure you did, I know I did, saw this scenario coming in the immediate wake of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, that there was no way on God's green earth that they would be able to responsibly and effectively run radio properties, hundreds, even over 1,000 of them, in the case of Clear Channel at one point. There was no way they could run radio properties responsibly and profitably because of the debt that they needed to generate to buy all these goddamn radio stations in local markets. And this documentary, Corporate FM, spells it out from A to Z. And it has the added attraction of featuring interviews with two people that I worked with during my Kansas City years in radio. So any of our listeners who have Amazon Prime, definitely watch that movie tonight. It'll take you an hour and 8 minutes, and it just spells it out from A to Z, the sorry shape of radio in America today. So that's my TV viewing tip for tonight.
Sounds interesting. It's on the weekend list.
Okay, definitely watch it, and talk it up after you've watched it, because you'll probably get as much, if not more, out of it than I did today. Not just because of my local connection with that market, but because of my love for radio and its high potential, which has been pissed away over the last 20 years, simply because of our Democratic president and vice president at the time didn't have the good sense to not back such horrible, horrible legislation. So, now, meanwhile, to shift it just a little bit, the topic that you and Thomas were talking about, we had a case here over the weekend, here in San Diego, in fact. The state Democratic Party had its big confab here, and they decided not to back sitting U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, which I guess they had the right to do that, but I don't know. I mean, this woman has had experience in elective office from the county level to the city level to the state and national level. And I mean, yeah, like all politicians, there are faults, but I think there's something to be said for experience and context and age and even a little bit of wisdom thrown in for good measure.
Well, you'd like to hope.
So I don't know where that's going to go. She's going to, whoever they run, whoever we run, speaking as a Democrat, she's going to be a hard person to beat. But if that's what they've decided they want to try to do, have at it. You know,
but I mean, California is a different game because of the jungle primary, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, it'll end up
so,
like it did.
Well, I mean, if the best of all possible worlds is it winds up being Democrat versus Democrat.
Yeah, which it will likely be because Republicans are an endangered species in this state, becoming more so with each passing moment.
But remember that that's just the Republican Party isn't much interested in California right now because things are so bad. But as I've said before, once they feel like they've consolidated their hold on the rest of the country, it'll be y'all's turn.
Oh, I know. And they're trying to find ways to screw us with this, with the big tax relief bill, so-called, from a couple of weeks ago. They're always going to try to find ways to screw us because they can't win. I mean, I doubt that there will ever be another Republican governor in this state, and probably not a lot more in the way of U.S. senators coming from this state. Now, granted, we do have, what's his name up the road here? Darrell Issa, we have him, but he's not going to be running again. And up further north, we've got Devin Nunes. Is that his name, Devin?
Yes,
And he may find a more difficult race come November. And there are a lot of Republican office holders in this state for whom the bell very well may toll. And I say, go for it. Go for it. And support every Democrat that you possibly can who has a chance of winning if you're in a state like this. And I know you have a lot of listeners out here, like Rick and Sparky and others.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to do a quick call just to give that TV viewing tip because it's a hell of a movie. And it'll make you sad, but it'll also make you mad.
Well, I'm gonna also get an inquiry. Did you get the link I sent you?
Yes, I did. I've not gone to it, but I did open the email that you sent the link in.
Yeah, Ron sent that along specifically so that we could continue to torment you over whether or not you've watched the Squidbillies.
Yeah, the old Squidbilly water torture deal. So. Well, I will. I've got nothing going this weekend, as far as I know. So, and the weather's supposed to be cold and rainy, and hell, we got like 5 inches of snow up in the mountains, just east of here. So,
well, like I said, we got it's a perfectly comfortable 68 degrees in the studio right now. No air conditioning going. No propane burning. Nothing.
Yeah, but you've got neighbors that fire.
Well, there's that.
Automatic weaponry, and they burn coal. So, you know.
Well, apparently they shot up all their ammunition last night. They're going to have to save up and buy some more because they didn't go shooting tonight.
Crazy-ass people, I'm telling you. but anyway, maybe somebody can get in, after me. I did want to give you that TV viewing tip and just say hello to my good friend, Bob.
Well, I'm glad you did, my good friend, Scott. And Jack in Shreveport just sent me a one-word email, subject line only. Squidbillies!
Oh, no. Here we go. It started.
It's on.
I will run and hide.
And when you get around to where you finally get introduced to Dan Halen, you'll understand why I think he's president of the United States.
Okay. It's a deal.
All right. You take care, Scott.
See you, Bob.
Bye now. And by the way, I said my latest viewing is Counterpart. And Agnes and I have gotten through as many episodes as presently exist. And now we find ourselves waiting for Sunday night so we can get the next one. We're on the hook. Damn it. But it's really good. It's very good indeed. Well worth the effort. Note coming from James. Subject line CDP. The California Democratic Party State Central Committee, to which I once belonged, has always been far more progressive than most of the politicians. The office holders paid little attention. I know a little bit about that. I remember when we passed the single most progressive state party platform in the history of this state. And it was roundly, soundly, thoroughly, and completely ignored. You know, because coal keeps lights on, right? Robert says, please thank Scott for me. I've enjoyed all of his viewing suggestions. Dirty Money was particularly good. I know. The things people and corporations will do to screw over others for their God money. And then P.S. Thoughts on Altered Carbon? Did it hold up? Well, no, Robert, it didn't hold up so much as I gave up. I can only tolerate. I get the feeling that Leda Kalogridis, who was responsible for this cinematic disaster, if she'd had focus group numbers that said it would have worked out, she would have been happy to have made, the protagonist a talking banana. It's not worth it. Don't waste your time. If you read the books, don't waste your time. If you want to watch a Blade Runner wannabe, and that's your thing, sure, I guess. But for anybody who actually read the books, and I've read all of them two or three times, I find them that engaging. It's good enough that there's always something there that you pick up the next time. You're going to hate it. Not to ruin anything, but when you take essential plot points and turn them on their heads so that they don't make any sense whatsoever, no, it's not going to... Sorry. Just no. It's terrible. Let's just put it that way. It's terrible. The author of the books, Richard K. Morgan, described it as a Maserati, and I replied, "Well, it may be a Maserati, but it's a Maserati that got driven like a pig, run into a ditch, rolled, and then got fixed up with some Bondo dark colors and neon ground effects." It's like they didn't even bother to read the books, and that's a shame. Because it really, really could have been something special. Because the contemplations of mortality and what that means when technology sort of puts a wrinkle in mortality. If it had been shot as the noir thing that it is, instead of a Blade Runner wannabe, would have been an entirely different vehicle. As it was, they just... ran it into a ditch. So that's the program for this evening. We've only got a couple of minutes. I'll save it for prayer meeting Wednesday because it's Jesus, this is funny, and I can't wait. I think this will probably be the front end of prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, so you'll just have to stick around for it. Okay. So thanks, everybody. By the way, thank you, Anatole, for jumping in. This has been Fundraising Free Radio, but thank you for jumping in just the same, Anatole. That is deeply and sincerely appreciated. And thanks to all of you who keep the program going. No ads here. Just the determination of those who listen and take some level of enjoyment out of the program, making sure it stays on the air from month to month. Thank you so much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Remember, when you shop at Amazon, nominate Coal River Mountain Watch at smile.amazon.com. It ain't a lot of money, but a little bit of your purchase price when you go through smile.amazon.com and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch, it goes to help people battling mountaintop removal at the point of the spear. So it's worth keeping in mind. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later. Prayer meeting Wednesday coming soon. Bye now.